giving me that I can record. So we're going to start with communion and praise Him. And one of the things I've learned about communion is that every time we take it, we are proclaiming His death and His victory in our lives and what Jesus actually did. So it's powerful because we receive Him in that moment when we do it. But we also, if you have an issue, I once prayed with someone, and it was just so amazing, about someone else's issue. We were praying third party for someone, proclaiming victory while we prayed and while we took communion for this person. And it's something you can do as well. You know, it's like breaking, you know how it says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church? That's what we're doing when we're taking communion. We're actually declaring that, and we're charging the gates. We've got to realize they're afraid of us. It's the other way around. They've just flipped it by lying, because demonic spirits lie, you know, obviously. The father of lies is their father. But it's the other way around. They're scared of us. That's why they try to harangue us and hassle us and torment us and mislead us and lie to us. Because if we get a hold of the truth, you know, there's no stopping us, basically, because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That means we've got this big, I see it, like this huge, you know, back in the times of the knights, you know, you got to have the drawbridge and everything placed up and the big wooden wall, wooden doors of a castle. I just see it, like, you know, they're like 30 men holding this huge bar of wood, pushing in that door. I mean, it's not going to last. It's not going to stand. And that's how it is with the church. Yeah. And sometimes we need each other to realize, not even just to realize, sometimes we need to push, you know, shove it, and then there go down those walls. Okay. So today, this is how Holy Spirit's telling me about it. I didn't realize this about communion until He was telling me right now how strong it is. It isn't just for an individual experience, although it is that, of course. A strengthening of us in our, you know, receiving the Word made flesh in us, but it's also a community of believers breaking down the gates of hell. How incredible is that? He's just telling me that now. I've never seen it like that. So today, whatever it is you, both of you have, whatever it is that I have that needs to be broken down, when we take communion today, we are proclaiming, I'm proclaiming it right now, that those walls, the gates of hell, do not prevail against us. We knock down those walls in our own lives, or if it's for someone else that we're holding faith for, and those gates are broken in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to take communion now. So if you both would just lift up both elements when we start. I love doing it like this. A la Joseph Prince. I learned this from him. And I think it's a beautiful way of, you know, including the Father in what He did. So, Lord, I thank You. We lift up to You the bread and the blood, the body and the blood, the bread and the wine. We ask You, Lord, in Jesus' name, to bless them both for us. As we receive communion, union, wholeness with our loving Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. And we're going to then put down the wine, and we're just going to hold up the bread. Heavenly Father, we know that You sent Jesus because You love us to such a degree we can't even understand it. We want to comprehend the width and the depth and the length of Your love. And we know that this was an expression, not a symbol of Your love, an expression, a living expression of Your love, Jesus Christ on the cross. Lord, right now, we break this bread together as community, as believers, as one body that has many members. And we say thank You. In Jesus' name, that You broke Jesus' body for us, that we may be made whole and unbroken. So, Lord, whatever is in our bodies, whatever illness, weakness, sickness, or disease, We know it isn't meant to be there because you took it through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we say now, as we receive your body, our bodies are made whole, perfect, cleansed, healed. And we take your body, Lord Jesus, your living flesh into us now because you said, take, eat, this is my body. We receive your body now as your body in Jesus' name. You said, Lord, that we are your flesh, we are your bones, we are your body. Not as a symbol, but physically true. That is amazing. We thank you for it and we receive it now. Total wholeness in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One with you, Lord. One with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tolaria makatiaria makotoria yamodoria yamoduriaria. Kilaria moduriaria deriaria. The wholeness of the Father through Jesus is ours. We are sons of God, but we are heirs of God. We've received the spirit of adoption. Not fear. Not bondage, adopted sons, in Jesus' name. And he has made us one with him, same bloodline, same perfection. We were perfected forever, it says, by the one offering. We receive that perfection now, Lord, in our bodies, in our cells, in our bones, in our flesh, in our tissue, in our muscles, in our ligaments and tendons and joints. In every organ, we receive that oneness, Lord. We receive the one flesh that you made us to be in you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Tularia makatiaria maduriaria deriaria deriaria deriaria. Colaria maderiaria deriaria deriaria mocoturiaria ma. Kilaria lua moduriaria deriaria matialeria moduriaria deriaria deriaria macati shotu. Kilaria moduriaria deriaria 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 deriaria. Colaria mala lulia lulia moduriaria madialeria deria. Colaria maderia deria. The Spirit of the Living God breathing into our very selves in Jesus' name, breathing wholeness. And life, life eternal, life abundant. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for living, living, living in us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Three in one. All of you in us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all of you. All of you, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we lift up the blood of your Son, the first among many brethren. Hallelujah. Lord, you shed this blood happily. You looked to the cross with joy. You didn't look to it and say, oh, no, I have to do it for these horrible people. You look to it with joy because you knew we were the joy of the cross. We are the fruit of your death. We thank you with all our hearts because we would never be here as we are. We are never the same because of the cross, never. We receive that lifeblood, Lord. We receive that complete and utter, permanent, perfect, and eternal forgiveness in Jesus' name, not by what we do, but by what you did. We receive the blood of Jesus. not as a symbol, but truly his lifeblood poured out for us, now poured into us. We receive it now, Lord, for newness of life, for being completely guilt-free. Hallelujah. The enemy cannot convince us because there's now there no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that rest of that scripture that is used against people, oh, only if you walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. That is a job description. That is an identity description of who we are. That's what we do. We walk according to the Spirit, even if we make mistakes, because we have an advocate with the Father. And the advocate is Jesus Christ, who already forgave us. So there's nothing to do. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for wholeness, forgiveness, every spot. Every wrinkle, every blemish that ever was upon us has been completely washed away. Whiter than snow. That is who we are. That is what he gave. We receive it gladly. We will not be cheated out of grace ever again. Your blood was enough. Your blood was enough, Lord Jesus. And we declare it now. In Jesus' name, we receive it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for a gift we never could repay and never earn. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We drink your blood, Lord Jesus. We love you. Thank you, Lord. Nothing but the blood of Jesus takes away our sin. Thank you, Lord. Like that song says, what can wash my sin away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. Nothing else can do it. Cleanse. Lord, I pray right now for my beautiful brother and sister here. And anyone that listens to this recording, they would receive a revelation that nothing but the blood of Jesus cleanses them. Nothing else. No work. No performance. No moral law, no behavior, nothing but the blood of Jesus cleanses them forevermore, forevermore. That last bit that the church has held on to, I have to do this, I have to be this, I have to be that, in order to receive his love, in order to receive his approval, in order to receive forgiveness. No. We received it. The cross was the forgiveness. And we receive it gladly. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. We love you, Lord, more than words can say. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 That's the gift of communion. So much bigger than it's been made into or diminished into. That's what he gives us. And we can have it every day, 25 times a day if we like. How good is that? Each time it's just as real. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us for, we know we're forgiven anyway. We're not begging for forgiveness, but Lord, just we thank you that we're forgiven for even forgetting to do communion. You even forgive us for that. You're so incredibly gracious. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I really believe he wants to talk to us about who the character of the Father. He's so on my heart right now. I met, I know I spoke to you earlier, Ronnie, about it last night, but I met this amazing Irish woman, Annette, in the shopping center yesterday. We were at the shopping mall and I prayed for a few people and the Holy Spirit just led me to bless. It was a real blessing day. There wasn't a lot of healing going on. They didn't need it. You know, they needed blessings for finances. They needed blessings for peace. They needed blessings for protection, whatever, or his presence or their future. And people were just, it was amazing. It was just, yeah, definitely Holy Ghost inspired. My last person was, you know, it was like such a gift from God. And I went up to this lady who, I didn't know she was Irish. I didn't know where she was from. But everybody I prayed for yesterday was international. And wasn't, except for one lady was Australian. That's right. I think she could have been English. Anyway, this Irish woman that I went up to, I saw her kind of limping a bit, and I asked her what was wrong, and she had fallen on her side. She'd fallen twice and hurt her leg, but she said, oh, it wasn't a lot of pain, but she favored one leg over the other, and it was really stiff and whatnot. Anyway, I asked to pray, and I'm praying, and she starts telling me about the church she goes to, starts telling me about their plans. They go back and forth from Ireland. They were called to Australia, and then she starts saying to me, and she starts crying. She said, every time I think of the Lord, I start to cry. And she did. She started to cry. She had the most tender heart. I could not believe it towards God. And he gave me a word for her that she was his little flower, because she was mocking her own body because she had a little bit of a tummy. You know, I mean, she must have been 60 something, you know, but anyway, she had a bit of a tummy. And I said, that's not how he sees you. But how he sees us is in a way that we don't normally comprehend, and we don't see ourselves. And I was telling her about him telling me about her being this little flower. She said, oh yeah, someone else has said that to me. So it was confirmation. Here he is telling her again, no, you're my little flower. He's not looking at her little puffy tummy. He's looking at her as a little flower. She was so in love with God, and even talked about wanting to be, with the Lord. I mean, that was her preference, to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But she said, I love people so much. Her heart was completely turned in for him and turned over to him. And I think today, I believe this was what he's showing me since communion, that he wants us to know his character of love. He says he is love. You know how God says he's love? He doesn't say, I'm joy, I'm grace, I'm peace, I'm righteous. He doesn't say, I am that, although he has those character traits. But the one he says he is love. And I believe today he wants us to actually grasp, through revelation, through experience, love. Because he says in Ephesians 3:19, Paul is talking to the Ephesians and encouraging them and saying, for them to know the love of God that passes, or the love of Christ, excuse me, that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So that love, and that word know, means experiential in the Greek, and it means as a husband and wife. And I've said that so many times, but you can say things and you can have one level of understanding, and then God wants to show you a whole nother. And I think he wants to just bite, he wants us to bite into, chew into, and devour that knowing love today. Because that's what the cross is. The cross is a symbol of love. People think it's a symbol of forgiveness. And although it gives us forgiveness so we can have unity with the Father, the forgiveness wasn't the point. The unity, the union, the oneness, the communion with him was the point. That was the way to get there. Someone had to be sacrificed, and that someone was Jesus Christ, a perfect sacrifice, once and for all. What happens has happened in the church is they're still trying to get a perfect sacrifice, and it's called me and my works. And it will never work, no matter how good we try to be. I think the church actually has to get a hold of, and I really believe this, when we lead people to Jesus, I think we have an obligation to teach them and to immerse them in the cross of Christ. Because then they will not be stirred to the left or right. They will not be deceived. They will not be misled. They will be sheep that know their shepherd. That's what the cross does. It was the final act that needed to be done. The church has kept the door open for 2,000 years that something more needs to be added. Whether it is I have to, run out and heal everybody, or whether it is I have to be so good that I never swear, or whether it is that, oh, I have to watch my step and look behind me constantly, or whether it is, oh, I said the wrong thing to so and so, oh, I got offended, all of those things, all of those self-initiated acts make the cross look like it was for nothing. Well, we might as well get that the cross was the cross and it did the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we can walk in freedom every step of our lives because he's ordered our steps and all we have to do is follow them. I mean, they're already footprints. It's like the Father's already put footprints. I feel like this is what he's telling me. I've made the footprints for you. Just put your little feet in my big fat footprints and you'll be fine. But we try to make our own footprints and we go in another direction. And it's not about, oh, you're so disobedient, you're in trouble. It's about, don't you know I have the best for you? Why do you think I sent the best, Jesus Christ? What, so you could have a lousy life filled with agony and pain and discouragement and hurt and guilt and sadness? That's not why Jesus died. He died, he said, I come to give life and life more abundant. Well, that's not life more abundant if we're living in this horrible oppression. If, you know, I really believe if we can just get out of this mindset, it's almost like a shroud of death over our minds as the body of Christ. We can just get out of the mindset that there's something else we have to do. Do you know we could actually just sit with the Holy Spirit then and realize it is finished? And the doing that we end up doing is we are not spurred on because we have to earn him. His approval or his acceptance or his forgiveness, because that was already done. But the doing that we end up doing is just a flow of his heart of love. When I prayed for people yesterday, because it's very easy to go into performance and think, oh, I should pray for this one, I should pray for that one, and what about this and what about that? I have to ask the Holy Spirit and say, all right, Holy Spirit, you take the lead. You're the one who's guiding me. And I'm going to trust you. However you want to do it. Doesn't mean I don't step out. Yes, I still step out. It's not an excuse to sit there and go, well, everything was done on the cross, so I could just sit here and watch TV all day. I mean, we can. But we're going to miss the greatest life he ever died for. It's not like we get kicked out of the kingdom. Because we know what happens to the supposed doers. What does he say? Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. Lord, Lord, I did mighty works and miracles in your name. Get away from me, I never knew you. Again, the same knowing. That same Greek word, knowing him experientially. I never knew you. That's what he says. So we can say, oh yes, I know Jesus Christ. He's talking about him knowing us. How is he going to get to know us? Are we going to let him occupy our hearts? Are we going to let him take us over? Are we going to give him free reign? It's all we have to say. It's such simple. It's such a simple process, and we make it so complicated. It's simply saying, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you want to do is up to you. You guide me. You lead me. I'm not going to make the plans anymore. I'm going to let you do it. And that doesn't mean we don't have, we don't make plans in terms of, today I have to go to the supermarket and, oh, I've got to pay the electricity bill and go into the post office. I'm not talking about just sitting there and going, I'm waiting for a word from God, whether I go to the toilet or not. I mean, we're not talking ridiculous things. What we're talking about is trusting him enough that whatever we do that day, he's in it. And letting him take over. I mean, I had to go shopping yesterday. We had to buy a vacuum cleaner. We bought a pool we didn't have to buy, but it's so darn hot here. And it was on sale for half price. So I had to go. And although I didn't get to pray for anybody in that particular store because I asked someone and they refused, but it doesn't matter. I had to go to another shopping area and, it was a prayer fest. And it's so easy. And it isn't about, I really want to make this clear. This isn't about, you better go out there and pray for the sick or you're not really a believer. There's nothing like that. It's an outpouring. You know, here we had communion and we're filled with him. It's like, how do you not want to give that away? I don't want to keep it for myself. What am I going to do with it? It flows through me. It's not for me to be, filled once. Oh, I've got the Holy Spirit. Well, that was done. I ate once in my life. It's a continual filling. I know Paul says it in Ephesians.
In the Greek word, I can't remember what the Greek word, I think it's 8:15, but anyway, not 8:15, there is no 8. It's something 15, anyway, have to look it up. That filling, that, oh, he tells them, he exhorts them to be filled with the Spirit. Well, they're already Spirit-filled believers, but to be filled, an infilling, a continual filling over and over. And that filling pours out of us. And that's, it's actually really simple life. We just go about being who we are and doing life. And it isn't about trying to be like him, because he's in us. We just start walking, and we find, I've found, the transformation he's done in me as a human being, one with him, is something that I could never even track. You know, if I was someone who was going to track this on a computer or statistics or in some, you know, mechanized or electronic way, I would never see what he did, because he does it invisibly. It's supernatural. All you do is see the fruit. You go, wow, that doesn't bother me anymore. Wow, I care more about others than I do myself. How did that happen? He does it. He transforms us. And we need to realize that especially the Holy Spirit, that is, okay, there's my two favorite things in the Bible, in Christianity, I'd say, is the cross and the Holy Spirit. Not that I don't love Daddy and Jesus. I do with all my being. And, you know, they're one with the Holy Spirit, so it's not like you're loving them instead. But the cross opened the door for us to be one with God and gave us the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit. Without the cross, there is no Holy Spirit to receive. And when I started studying the cross, and not studying in a theological, you know, scholarly way, simply saying, Holy Spirit, I don't get the cross. I don't understand. What's it mean to be crucified with you? I'm dead to me and to sin, but I'm alive to Christ. What's that mean? How did I get dead and buried? I don't understand. And he started teaching me. And the more the Holy Spirit taught me about the freedom in the cross, the love that was expressed in the cross, the more of Holy Spirit I started to experience. The cross leads to the Holy Spirit. But I think most of the church hasn't experienced that. And I believe today, I mean, Holy Spirit is just, he likes being called Holy Spirit. Anyway, Holy Spirit is so incredibly willing and excited to teach us, to comfort us. He's called the teacher, the comforter, the counselor, the Spirit of truth. So if we need any of that, where do we go? We go to a person. We go to a book. We go to ourselves. And Holy Spirit's sitting there going, oh gosh, unemployed again. Well, because we think we have to self-comfort. We have to self-counsel. We have to self-teach or get someone else to do it for us, better yet. And that's not his desire. That love that God poured out through Jesus' blood, through his life and his death, and then his resurrection, brought forward Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit wants to do what he's called to do. Just like we all want to do. You know, if you're not fulfilling your calling, you know you feel empty inside, you feel wrong, you feel almost tense. Because it's just not you. And if you're trying to do a job, like say someone decides, oh, I want to be in the corporate world, but that's really not where God put them, but they want it because maybe their father was in it and they're carrying on their father's business, and so they're trying to get approval from their earthly father. But it never sits right. It's never what God called them to be. And they're never going to feel right about it. So what happens is that, you know, they feel uncomfortable in themselves. And it's the same, I can imagine Holy Spirit most of the time not being inquired of, not being asked, not being invited into Christians' lives. Not just, oh, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, yes, I want to speak in tongues and da-da-da-da. Okay, I had that once, now I'm okay. A daily, moment-by-moment relationship with him where you can say, look, this is really hurting me, Lord. I don't know how to get over it, you know, whether it's an emotional issue or even for healing. To go to him and say, what's going on, Holy Spirit? How come, I'm not I've prayed and prayed and prayed. I've commanded. I've cast out. I've done all the things I'm supposed to do, but I'm still not getting well. What's wrong? Teach me. Show me. Comfort me. It is amazing. The other night, I couldn't sleep because there were some people that were really struggling with some major, major issues that I'd been praying for. And I just was tossing and turning, tossing and turning, tossing and turning. And I just woke up and remembered, wait a minute, the Holy Spirit's my comforter. I said, Holy Spirit, comfort me. I can't sleep. I don't know, but it was very quickly after that I went to sleep. And I had a really good sleep after that. And we think he's some kind of spiritual, ooh, it's something separate from us. God is a very practical God. I mean, look, he made us physical. He made us have logical minds. He's given us a lot of practical knowledge and ability. It's not like he's some esoteric. Oh, in humor. Yeah, my son says in humor. He is. He's got a great sense of humor. And so it's not as if he separates himself in some kind of supernatural way, and we just, we have to go to him and plead with him. He lives in us. So all I have to say, and all you have to say, and anyone, any believer filled with the Spirit has to say, Holy Spirit, I'm confused. Teach me about the cross. Teach me about healing. Teach me about grace. And he will give you lessons like there's no tomorrow. And that's what, he's waiting to be engaged. And even if we go out, like some people can be very afraid, especially when they first start walking out in their world and realizing, okay, I'm going to actually declare Jesus Christ, whether it's through evangelism, whether it's through healing, whether it's through teaching. And they might be afraid of rejection. And we are promised rejection. We promise persecution. So it's not like we're not going to get it. But they may be afraid to even step out. But the truth is, we step out in unity with the Holy Spirit. So when I go out now, I don't go, okay, oh, let's see. Oh, my goodness, there's another one I got to pray for. Oh, there's another one. Oh, that one looks sick. Oh, that one's on crutches. Oh, that one's hurting. Oh, that one's crying. I don't do it like that. I just say, Holy Spirit, you're my helper. Help me to do what the Father wants done for these people. I'm not alone. It's not like I'm out there doing this by myself. And we go out, we tend to go out there with our swords and shields and, okay, I'm going to slay the enemy. As if we're, single-handedly going to do this. And he creams us when we do it like that. He's just going to come after us like this, the roaring lion, seeking whom he's going to devour. He's going to put doubt in your mind. He's going to put fear. He's going to, he's going to even guide you to people that are going to laugh at you. I mean, I'm serious. And I'm not saying don't go to people that are going to mock you, because look what happened to, the apostles. They got beaten up for it. It's not like we're going to only go to the people that are nice. I'm not speaking of that. But the enemy will strategically guide you to people who are actually going to reject you on purpose, so that you get so discouraged you don't even want to try anymore. Whereas the Holy Spirit will guide you to people actually going to receive him. I spoke to a woman yesterday who was absolutely, totally non-believer, would have been an intellectual. Her face looked so familiar to me. She did not know me at all. But I kept seeing her in this Kmart, and I thought, oh, Lord, she looks so familiar. I'm going to have to pray for her. Maybe she has a problem. Maybe she's hurting. Maybe she's called out to you. I don't know. So I finally, I found her. She kept moving really fast, but I finally found her in this other section of the mall. Or saw her in this other section of the mall. And I just went up to her and I said, you just look so familiar. She said, well, I don't know you at all. And I said, oh, really? I said, well, this may sound really strange, but I said, we have a healing ministry, and we pray for people around the world, and people get healed of all kinds of diseases and sicknesses and hurt, whether it's emotional or physical. And I said, he leads me to people. And I said, it was like he called me out to pray for you. And she goes, oh, really? Well, I'm very fine. And I said, that's great. That's really good. But can I pray to bless you? And she allowed me. I put my hand on her shoulder and prayed for blessing, prayed for protection, prayed for her to come to know him. I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit upon me, and I know he was going into her, whether she could experience it or not at that moment. And she said this thing that I thought was so funny. It was a worldly interpretation of what I'd done and what the Holy Spirit had done. She said, well, that's just like saying everything is going to be well. And I said, yes, it is. You know, and God bless you. And I left. I have no idea what's in store for that woman. Whether Holy Spirit was, you know, whether somewhere in the night she actually maybe had called out to him. Whether she's going to have trouble in the future and she's going to remember that she was prayed for. I don't know. I don't know what he was doing. All I know is I was going to follow what he told me to do. And that lady that may look like she doesn't need a thing in the world. Come on. We all know we need Jesus. I don't care how intellectual you are. I was an intellectual. I know. And that was the last thing I had to give up in order to receive him. My idol of my mind. So who knows how close she is to that? Who knows if someone's not praying for her, her daughter, or somebody, or her mother, that's saying, please, Lord, lead her to you. We don't know. All we have to do is follow the Holy Spirit and go, okay, that one looks familiar to me, so obviously you know her, because I didn't know her. But she looked, I mean, I still can see her face, and I'm like, I know you. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit going, I know you, just because you don't know me. I mean, do you see how simple it is? And it doesn't really matter whether they believe at the moment or not. There are times to lead them to Christ right there and then. There are times to plant a seed and let someone else be the one who leads them. Or let the Holy Spirit himself in the middle of the night lead them. We don't know how he, you know, what he's going to do. He saved each one of us in his own way, which worked for each of us. We don't know how it's going to work for somebody else. That's how much he loves us. It's all individual. It's all custom-made salvation, custom-made healing, custom-made teaching, custom-made relationship. No one's relationship with God is the same as anybody else's. And that's what's so wonderful about him. You know, I can just feel, you know, his presence now. He loves us knowing that he's for us, not against us. He loves us knowing that he cares about us so much that he knows the number of hairs on our head. He loves us knowing that he is love. And that it is finished at the cross and we can never earn it. And we don't even need to. Like our own children. They can't earn our love even if they're naughty. Doesn't change that we love them. Can never separate our love from them. It can never do it. If we can do that as earthly parents, imagine how it is for God. Just incredible. Just incredible. You're on.
Okay. I'm just saying, you know, the simple message of John 3:16, you know, God is so loved in the world. And the simple message, you know, where a preacher or evangelist goes out and, you know, it's pretty straightforward, it's pretty simple.
Yes.
And a lot of people overlook it. And they say, I've heard it said, you know, well, that crucifix on your neck, well, he's not there no more, and he's not. But the death part of it, I really do believe it's underrated. I think that there's more to it, and like you're saying with the love.
Yes. The cross is love. The cross is love. So if someone, you know, if someone doesn't understand it, obviously, you know, they're not born again and they don't get it, they're not going to understand that you're not wearing a reminder of, oh, he died and wasn't it sad? You're wearing a reminder, oh, he died and I'm alive because he loved me that much. The cross is love. It's not a symbol of love. It is love. His death is love. His death is love. If we would actually get that, all that guilt that Christians feel about, oh, he died for me because I was so bad and a rotten sinner, that would all stop. His death is love. That's it. It's that simple. So when we can touch people with that truth, you know, you better come because you're going to hell. That isn't why God, he didn't die so that we would run around telling people they're going to hell. He died so we could tell people he loves you. And he died because he loves you. And now you can be alive and free of all the insanity of your life, all the pain, all the hurt. And because so many Christians don't live with the freedom of the cross, they don't have anything to share. They're just like the rest of the world, suffering. What are you going to say? Oh, well, it's nice. At least, you know, I used to say this. Oh, well, okay, even though you're going through all this pain, at least you have him with you. Yuck. He didn't die for us to have this life of victimhood. He took victimhood. He was beaten with it. So we don't have to. We're meant to be the most joyous, free, light-hearted, prosperous, and I'm not talking let's have millions, but you know, if he gives you millions, he gives you millions, who cares? But people on the planet, that no one, and whether we abase or abound, like Paul said, we are so content that people see it, and they see us going through trial, and they're like, why are you so at peace? What is that? That's what he gives us, the peace not as the world gives. And I know of another believer who's had incredible trial with a sickness in his family, and not his own sickness, but another. And he has so much peace, this man. He is so filled with joy that other believers are coming to him and going, because they know the situation, they're going, why are you like that? How can you do that? He used to be somebody that was so troubled, so morose, so depressed because of it. Now he is completely free. And the sickness is not gone in his family at this point. And I'm not saying, okay, great, let's keep the sick. No. But it is not stopping the truth of the gospel in him. And he's a witness to his own brethren. That's what we're meant to be. And not as a striving. He got transformed by grace. He learned about grace. Just this year, in the last 6 months, as we spoke and prayed together and taught and all of that and shared, grace overtook him. And he'll never go back. And that's what's in front of us. That's what's the opportunity. You know, you're right, Annette, when you say that people can hurt so much that they have trouble forgiving rather than turning to love. And you know what? Get this, Annette. This is amazing. And Ronnie. And me. When we have been so damaged. And I mean, it's genuine damage. It's not like God just, you know, gives us the, you know, just flicks us with his finger, you know, off the picnic table like an ant. He doesn't do that. If we're hurting, he cares. If he knows how many hairs are on our head, is not he not going to care about our broken heart? And he says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He cares. He doesn't put out a smoking flax, and he doesn't break a bent reed. He cares. He cares. He cares so much he gave Jesus on the cross. That's the depth of his love. So it's not like he ignores it. You know, he doesn't ignore it. He gives us Holy Spirit to comfort us. He gives us Holy Spirit to lead us into truth. He gives us Holy Spirit to help us. He gives us Holy Spirit to teach us, to counsel us. That's the love of God. Holy Spirit is the love of God as well. The cross the cross is love, which leads to the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which is love again. A living...
That's the other side of the cross.
That's the other side. Holy Spirit, exactly, Ronnie. Holy Spirit's the other side of the cross. It's incredible. It's incredible. We have so much, and it's not about, we have so much, we better be thankful or God's mad. No, let's just get a revelation. We have so much. We're not poor. We're not orphans. We're not alone. We're not guilt-ridden. We're completely forgiven, free, and filled. That's who we are. But the enemy will do anything he can to try to convince us otherwise. And that's why we have to be sober and vigilant, because he's a roaring lion roaming about seeking whom he can devour. Let's not be devourable. Let's actually believe God did what he did, what he said he did. Let's believe he's for us, not against us. Let's believe the cross, it finished his work. And we now only strive to enter into his rest. I mean, the power of God is so immense. Human beings have tried to contain it in a little can of potatoes or can of corn. We try to stick the power of God into a little can and vacuum seal it. Okay, now I got it. I'll walk around with my little can of, you know, Holy Ghost. It's containable. No! It's the power that made the whole world. It's the power that made the galaxies. It's the power that made you and me. Uncontainable. And yet, he's put himself in us. That's the paradox. How does the uncontainable God fill us up with his spirit, his power? And we don't burst into flames. That's the amazing part. That's what we have. That's what we have. So let's stop containing him and let him have free reign. I really feel it's not like the Holy Spirit needs anything. You know, he doesn't even need glory. Remember, he says, I mean, he's only here to glorify Jesus. He always points to Jesus. So it's not as if he needs acknowledgement or he needs us to speak about him or talk about him. He doesn't need anything from us. We need him. And he's right here. And he hasn't gone anywhere, and he never will. Because Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
We need to know him.
We need to know him. We need to know him. I believe after the cross, because the cross points to him, after the cross, he is the greatest gift that God has given us. Because he leads to all truth. And if you know the truth will set you free. There's nothing better than that. So he's just waiting for an invitation. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, what was before that quote? There's something else before that quote. A lot of people leave out, but... the verse before is verse 31. It says, John 8:31-32. And it says, so Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, hold fast my teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. And then it says, and you will know the truth, and truth will set you free.
That's right. That's right. And that it still not works, though. See, people will twist that into works. They will say, oh, I got to follow the commandments. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to read the word. No, he's telling you the benefit of allowing, of following his truth, of his word. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Because there are people that will read the Bible every day, and you know what? They don't follow him. They don't. They follow the letter. And what happens to the letter? The letter kills, but the spirit adds life. We make the Bible flat and one-dimensional, and it's the living word. Yes, exactly. They become legalistic about it. If you can read that word that you just read legalistically. You can read it legalistically and go, oh, now I got to do this and now I got to do that. He said, I know it's somewhere in John, I think it's 1 John, could be 2 John, he talks about his commandment. His commandment is to believe on him and to love. That's it. That's it. That's following his commandment. Because what did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and all your soul. First commandment. And the second one is as the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. It is not a law. Because he's written the law in our hearts. It's a yieldedness to his heart. Love. It goes back to love. It's always love. People turn it into a flippin' rule book, and they're dying out there. Christians are dying from the rules. They've got nothing to give to the world. The world doesn't want a rule book. That's why they go, oh, well, I won't be able to sin anymore if I come to this God of yours. You won't want to sin anymore if you come to this God of mine. But they don't tell them that. They tell them, you're in trouble. You're bad. You're evil. You're one of the wicked ones. You're going to hell. And look at me. I'm so good. I'm one of the good ones. I'm one of the chosen. The church has treated the world like scum, and Jesus Christ died for it. And it's got to stop. Do you know when I got a hold of the understanding that I was actually not just, you know, run out there and perform and heal everybody, but when I got a hold of the understanding that God's compassion for the world was ever flowing, I just wanted to kiss them all. I used to go into the shopping malls and think, oh, I hope their yuckiness doesn't get on me. As a Christian, for crying out loud. How that must have broken God's heart. I don't want their heaviness. I don't want their pain. Ooh, they've got some weird spiritual stuff on them. Ooh, they're practicing the weird stuff that I used to be into. That's how I'd be. How disgusting. He died for those people. Now he makes me go out there, and I don't know which one to go to, because the Holy Ghost, you better tell me, because there's thousands of them. They're all shopping today. Which one do I choose? I can't only go to so many. And I also want to be there for the ones that are ready to receive him. This little lady, this little Irish woman, Maria, will never forget her face. Crying for God. I said, I want that, Lord. Every time I think of you, I want to cry like Marie. He taught me such a lesson that day, and I thought I was there to pray for her, which I did, and which she did. Her leg was good. She said, oh, it's good now. You know, that all happened, but that wasn't the point. I thought I was there to bless her. We think we're going to run around and pray for people, and they get healed, and look at us, and wow, didn't we bless people today? And we miss that God is blessing us. I looked into her face, her angelic-looking face, 62 years old or whatever she was, with a little puffy belly that I would have even noticed if she hadn't told me about it, and these brilliant blue eyes of a child, like a 4 or 5-year-old, talking about the Lord and starting to cry. Her eyes were bubbling with tears, and she did it throughout our conversation. Every time she spoke of him, she cried. And God blessed my heart. And showed me, that's what I want for you, Jesse. For every time you think of me, you cry. And that's what he wants for the entire body of Christ. It isn't enough to follow the Bible like a book of rules. Follow me, he said. Jesus told them, follow me. They didn't have the Bible then. Yes, they had Old Testament, the Torah, and the books of Moses. But they didn't have the Bible. So when he said, follow me, they had to actually get up, drop their nets, and walk. And that's what we have to do. Let's drop our nets of preconceived ideas of who Jesus is. Let's drop our nets of what we think the Father's demanding of us. Let's drop our nets of what the church has told us, or you know, teachers, or whoever it is. That you must do this and you must do that. Let's drop our nets of religion and follow him. We can't go wrong.
There's not a whole lot attractive about just being told what to do, as far as, you know, you better be obedient, you better listen to me. You know, that kind of talk, you know. What's attractive about Jesus is his love. And that's what other people are going to be, you know, who come to know the Lord, who really are going to come to really know him. You know, that's what attracts people. It's just this death stuff. That's love, you know?
That's right.
And
that's right.
And Jesus tells us to carry our own crosses. So it's us getting to know the Lord that way, and in a more intimate way that way too, which is a bit of a hard way of going about, but
Well, I think we misinterpret that. We think, oh, I got to carry the burdens, pick up my cross and follow him. Oh, no. It's so hard. Well, if the cross is the finished work and his yoke is easy and his burden is light, what's the problem? We misinterpret that. I'm not carrying the cross of Calvary. He did it for me. You know the cross that we carry? You know what I love? He's so amazing. He's put on my heart the nations of the world. Now, I didn't even want to go to the nations, but he transformed my heart. And he's having me go around the world now. I've got different places I'm supposed to go this year that I've been invited to teach about healing, but that's just my ticket in. But to really share the Father's heart and for people to have a real relationship with Holy Spirit. Now, I pick up my cross and follow him there. My cross is light. It's not a burdensome cross. Because he said his burden is light and his yoke is easy. Why would he put that on us if he finished it on the cross? And you got to realize, too, he's talking to people where he hasn't gone on the cross yet. He didn't die yet when he spoke to them. Now the cross is light. I carry it around my neck. It's a stone. I've got stone, diamonds and aquamarines or something. Pretty easy to carry. Most of the time I don't even know it's there.
I think we got to look at the cross, what Jesus has done, and it makes it easier. I know not that long ago myself, there are certain people who I think that I try to avoid.
Yes.
And the Lord showed me, look, you need loving people. And I think, how do I love these people?
That's the cross.
When you look to the cross, then you know, it's easier for you to it's not so difficult.
No.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Do you know what the cross is? The cross is, we've come up with this equation. I mean, the Holy Spirit is teaching us right now. His death on the cross, so his death equals love. His love equals the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit equals freedom for us to walk and follow him. And you do not have to try and love those people. He will love those people in you. The people that I now pray for, he transformed my heart. I didn't do it. I just gave him my heart and said, okay, you've got free reign, Lord. Do you know how easy it is? It's almost like an overnight thing. Okay, you pray in the evening. You say, Lord, I don't get this. This is hard. How do I love these people, especially the ones that are mean to me? La, 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 la. I'm hurting. Da, 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 da. Please, take over my heart. Good night, Lord. I'm going to sleep now. You wake up in the morning and you have a new heart. You didn't do anything. It's not something you work at. You cannot work at loving people because it's not love then. You can only say, I mean it, Lord, take over my heart. Father, I want your heart in my heart. You take it over. You possess it. I want to be possessed by you and nothing else in Jesus' name. And then let him do it. He's the master, not us. Do you see what I mean? It's effortless. You strive to enter into his rest.
It should be easy, yeah.
It is easy, but Ronnie, it is easy.
You may have to put up with some stuff that you don't make it easy, but there is stuff sometimes that, like rejection, like you went to go pray for somebody, they didn't want it. Maybe they need it, and they just, that happens too.
It happens, but you've got to realize this. Yeah. When you let him occupy your heart, and if it hurts, I have been I've been laughed at publicly. And that's nothing compared to, I was in Indonesia, I could have been in jail, but but anyway, but I've been laughed at here in Australia. I mean, they're not excited about God here, for the most part. And they will be, but they're not at the moment, in general. It's not a country that looks to God for guidance, okay? But So I've been laughed at. And yes, it does hurt. But guess what? You have the Comforter. And you say, Holy Spirit, that hurt me. It's okay to be his child, you know, the child of the Father. That hurt me. I don't like that. Comfort me. And he does it just like that. We've got to get it. This is not a striving hard, you know, I got to push through. It's not psychology. This is supernatural. God is supernatural. He's not natural. So he doesn't make sense to our minds. So instead of us worrying about, you know, what's going to happen to me if I do this and I get rejected, or, oh, my family's so mean and they say this. I've done it with my husband. You know, we've had our, they call them blues here. A blue is a fight. You know, we've had our blues. And sometimes they're not very nice, and sometimes they're just fairly mild. And, you know, they vary from situation to situation, how tired we are, whatever. Every time I ask Holy Spirit to come in between, do you know what? He does the most magnificent work on my husband and me. And we resolve things that we might have been years hassling with.
I'm proud of you. You included yourself.
Of course I include myself. What do you think? I'm not learning on the planet?
Didn't work with my husband. Yeah,
oh, yeah. No, yeah. That's right. Well, he does. He does. All of a sudden, he changes us both. He does it. I don't do it. When I try to change my husband, believe me, it backfires. You know, it's not a good plan.
And then said, love is a choice, not a feeling. That's...
But you know what? Get this. That's still psychology. Love is a choice, not a feeling. No. Love is the supernatural power of the universe that brought you and I on the planet and that put Jesus on the cross, who died for us and gave us the Holy Spirit. That's love. I'm not reducing it to a flippant choice. Forget about a choice garbage. No. God transforms my heart. The choice, you know where the choice is? Lord, possess my heart. You take over it. I want the Father's heart and mind. That's it. No bar, holds barred. Done. In Jesus' name. That's it. That's my choice. That's where the choice is. Not, oh, am I going to be nice today or mean? Am I going to bite my lip and not say something stupid? Da, da, da. We make it into a psychological process, and it isn't. It's a supernatural process. And I'm not saying if somebody is snotty with you that you don't think twice about, okay, am I going to say something mean to them or not? I'm not talking, yeah, we have those moments. But the more the Father occupies our heart, the less those moments are there. We don't have to even think anymore. If somebody said something, I can't even remember, it wasn't very nice yesterday when I was praying for somebody. And it was actually it was a backhander. You know, it was like saying it, actually sounding like they were being nice, but they really weren't. And I didn't even flinch. And I noticed it later, like an hour or two or three or 4 hours later. I went, oh, that was weird. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't react. You know? See, he's changing me. He's changing all of us. It's not something, we don't have to transform ourselves. Hello, it's not going to work. The heart is not something you know, how did we get, when we first got saved and we said, yes, Jesus, I accept you into my life. You know, I repent, I turn away from what I thought was life, and I come to you. In a blink of an eye, he made us a new creation. So if he can do that, I think he can transform our hearts pretty easily once we're one with him. It's a lot easier on that side. In fact, it's impossible on the other. You know, does that make sense?
So you think the carrying the cross, I'm asking, the carrying the cross, that would be what exactly? I guess that's from one of the...
Well, do you know what does he say? What does he say? In that whole section of scripture, he talks about those who will try to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for his sake will save it, right? It's all connected in that section of scripture. What I have found, actually, is that when I'm trying to gain my life by, oh, say that, you know, for instance, say someone's promised funding for our ministry, and they're giving us all these, you know, promises of money and land and accoutrements and everything, and it sounds really good, yeah? And you go, yes, oh, this is wonderful, this must be from God, you know, he's providing for us, da-da-da. But there's lots of complications with it. There's lots of strings attached. But I want it. So I'm trying to save my life there. But all I've got is pain because the promises don't come through. There's lots of deception. There's lots of wanting to control us from those promising. All kinds of issues. That's me wanting to seek my life. If I lay that down and say, all right, Lord, no, obviously that doesn't look good. The fruit's bad. I'm exhausted. They keep saying things that never happen. It's obviously not from you. I am not walking that way anymore. I am going to lose my life for your sake and trust you to provide for me. And then I have freedom and I can sleep at night. That's what he's talking about, even in a practical sense. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so if we want to be in charge of our lives and try to drive it, like say, you know, we have a difficult circumstance and we think we know the best way to out of it. And we worked it out logically. Well, this looks like the pattern I should take. I should do step 1, 2, 3. Yeah, and that should get me out of this. But that's not God's path at all. He's got a whole nother one, which is so much better. But we're not paying attention. That's why he says he orders our steps. And he delights in our way. Because he's pre-prepared them. But if we don't listen to that, we're going to go through our own steps in agony because we're trying to save our life. And that's not, he's talking about salvation, but it's more, it's beyond that. Because every day of our lives, we have choices to make. And whether we're going to initiate our being saved, so to speak, quote unquote, in that circumstances, or whether we're going to let him, we're going to lose our life to him. Trust our Father that he says, what he says is true, that he is faithful, that he's able to perform it, that he will do, that we can trust his promises and stand on them. Or we're going to try to figure it out ourselves. And we'll lose our life then. In that sense. I mean, we're not going to lose salvation. And we're not going to, you know, we lose our peace. We lose our joy. And we're in the snare of the enemy. Because we chose to go our own way.
The joy is our strength, right?
Yes, that's right. And these scriptures are not to be figured out. These scriptures are to be illuminated by the mind of Christ in us. And if we're confused about a scripture, I found one of the easiest ways to get clarity. And this is even when I'm praying for people. If I just can't see something. I mean, I don't seem to need it as much as I used to, but I used to have to pray this way in order to get the clarity. And now it just seems to happen because, you know, the more we yield to him, the more clarity we have. But I used to have to say, just to direct myself so that I would be on, you know, same page as Daddy, I'd say, Lord, illuminate the mind of Christ in me, in Jesus' name, about blah, blah, blah. Could be about a scripture, could be about a person I'm praying for, maybe we're not getting breakthrough or whatever. And he would. He'd give me a word, he'd give me a picture, he'd give me a revelation. Again, he's the teacher. Holy Spirit's the teacher. We only need ask. He's only a request away. Invitation away. And so if we wonder about, oh, what's this scripture mean? Oh, it sounds like this. And he'll transform your understanding anyway. If you're looking partly in the eyes of the law, because often Christians will look with one eye on the law and one eye on grace when they're reading God.
Done that.
Yeah, I'm just pausing it for a second. My son's saying, I'm sorry, Ronnie.
Mom, Dad told me to put it over there, but he wants me to take out all the weeds. I might need some help later on, okay?
Okay, well, can you do it now before it gets hot? Because I'm on teaching right now.
I said that's what I'm going to
okay.
do.
Okay, oh, okay.
I'm doing it now.
Oh, well, put Daddy's hat on.
No. I'm doing it now, but I might need some help getting the weeds out after you're finished, okay?
Okay, well, how did he say to pull the weeds? Get one of those, get that thing. That'll dig them out. That's a lot easier. Don't just do it by your hand. Get that. And where are your little gloves, your garden gloves? Get some garden gloves on. Okay.
So as soon as you're finished,
Can you please? Yep, I'm going to have a drink and a relax for a few minutes first, okay? And then I'll do that. Okay, sorry, guys. We're putting that pool in that we got half price. Anyway, that I had to go buy yesterday in that part of town that I wouldn't have been in had I not needed the pool. But anyway, okay, we're unpausing. So, Are we recording? Yeah, we're recording again. Okay, she's coming back. Good. I hope I didn't pause all of that. I don't know. Anyway, we'll see. Might just be in the ethosphere. So, in terms of, and Annette, no, you are, I'm going to say it on recording. You are not interrupting us. We love having you. So if the Skype's knocking you in and out, we just keep going and keep adding you on. Okay? That's how I do it. I never get rid of people. You know? Just like God, he never leaves you nor forsakes you, you know? So it's kind of like an adventure with God. That's what he's played before us. Oh, can you hear my kookaburra? No, you probably can't. Anyway, the kookaburra was just singing. You get some of the Australian bush, you know, online.
You know, as far as relationship and that kind of stuff goes, you know, it's really important. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and that kind of relationship and the love of the Father, you know, the death of Jesus and, you know, what he's brought us. And, you know, there's different, people do things different ways, but what seems to work best, you know, at least from what I'm gathering, is that, you know, when people are real, genuine, and actually, you know, being who the Lord wants them to be, and a lot of times that has to do with just loving people for who they are, you know? And that doesn't mean they stay the same way, but we're not trying to change them. The Lord will do that, you know? So.
Absolutely. Do we trust Holy Ghost or not? It's right. And he's done it to each one of us. I mean, we've even have an experience of it. I certainly do. The person I was when I first came to Christ compared to who I am now is an unrecognizable person. She's dead. She doesn't exist anymore. That's the truth. She would be like one of the people I would be going up to trying to pray for and help. And she'd be very angry about it and very self-righteous. And she wouldn't listen, and she'd probably swear at me as well. That's, you know, and she was so brutally hurt by so much pain in her life. Sorry?
That's not you.
No.
I don't know that, Jesse.
No, that's who I was.